Hebrews 4:2 says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is an action word. It's something that you're having to do. That's why when you're hearing a sermon, when you're hearing somebody, even like right this second when I'm talking, make a decision with what you're hearing. Don't just be, Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you're hearing somebody talk about God, God, I want that. God, work that in my life. Make it a prayer. That's what we mean by pray the scriptures. When you're reading the Bible, pray it. Don't just read it and go, oh, that felt good. I got a nice little warm fuzzy. Who gives a flip? It's like, I want Jesus. And it's like the life of Christ working in you. So it's like constantly be making a decision. When you're hearing preaching, all through the preaching, make a decision. Be making a decision. Yeah, yeah. Now sometimes you're sitting there and you're trying to get it and you're like, man, what is this? And God's working in you. But it's like, God, I want this. I don't want to just hear this. I don't want to just know this. Because remember, there's three levels of learning. Head learning, heart belief, and spirit quickened. See, you could hear something, and a lot of people know about stuff here. And then Christians, the best ones, mostly, live in their heart, okay? They hear something, they receive it. Oh, yes, I have warm fuzzies, I love Jesus. But it goes deeper than that. When you receive it into your heart, a truth, now you've only given God permission to begin working inside of you, and he begins to bring up to your surface, I've chosen the furnace of affliction, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He's going to try us. He's going to begin to bring stuff up in our lives, the lies that we've taught, that we've believed, that we've lived. He's going to begin to bring them up. And now we have to break agreement with that so that we can receive the truth in its place. And there's levels or degrees of repentance. So many people live in this shallow repentance. Let's hurry up and get it done with, you know. No, 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 no. It's like true, deep, full repentance. I want all of Jesus, not just a little covering of Jesus on my sin, okay, and having all this stuff done inside me. Why am I always battling with all this? I'm battling with it because I don't have Jesus. I may have a covering of Jesus. I may have a knowledge of Jesus. But see, when you receive a truth, when you hear something, and now, you know, like when somebody preaches or is talking to you, your brain starts, this is what everybody's natural process, at least what the light I have so far, what God's shown me, is that people are like, do I like what they say? Does it fit in with what I believe? Does it fit in with what my dad taught me or what my preacher taught me? Do I like them? Oh, I don't like them? Well, then I can't receive what they say, you know. But if we receive it, then we bring it in here. And then we feel good about it. That's where it talks about in Matthew 13 about the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed and it immediately sprung up. But when persecution, when the sun, when the warmth, when the trials came, it died because it had no root. No root, no fruit. You can have a plant without fruit. Doesn't do any good. It just cumbers the ground. Jesus said, cut it down. Okay? So what happens is we hear it. Now when we say, God, I want that truth. Yes, I believe that. He says, now you've only given me permission to begin to till inside of you and begin to put trial to it, to bring this stuff to the surface. And now you start going through this turmoil because all these lies, all these feelings, all these experiences, all these things people have taught you start coming up, but they don't bear witness in the scripture. They don't bear witness inside of us. Yea, that we're love God, we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's got to bear witness in the spirit, bear witness in the scripture. And if it doesn't, then we break agreement with that. God, this is a lie. Please reveal the seed of where this lie came into my life, whether it was through somebody hurting me, my parents, some lie. When we begin to allow God to do that process and we cooperate and we begin to break agreement with the lies, God, reveal the seed and then the root system that's come from that. Jesus, I'm asking you to remove that whole root system out of me. Now, please, 1 John 1:9, please come forgive me of my sin. On the right side, pour in your blood. And on the left side, pour in the blood of cleansing to completely cleanse me. Because I only want Jesus living in me. And then it becomes alive inside of you. God becomes alive. And it's quickened. It's made alive by the Holy Spirit. Now you own it. Now you're living it. It's not just something you're a Christian encyclopedia and know about stuff. But it doesn't do you any good. Now you're living it, and you begin to live Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that was a prologue. You know what's neat, Jesus, is you. Nobody's like you. And I'm so glad we get to know you. Thank you that you want to know us. Thank you that you include us. Thank you that you made it possible for us to know you. You've broken down that middle wall partition between us and God. You brought down the veil, and Lord, through your precious blood, through your life, and it all started with your desiring, your wanting us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, you made each one perfect. When we look at people, or sometimes we look at ourselves and we see all the mess, all the sin, all the wickedness, that's not us. That's where we've been deceived and bought into the lies of the enemy. But you see us as you made us, and you want to restore us. You want to save us, salvage us out of the junk pile of sin. You want to wash us clean in your precious blood, come to live inside of us as the precious Holy Spirit. You want to adopt us into your family, become little baby Christians. Thank you, Jesus. And then you want to work inside of us to bring us more and more into you, more and more into the perfect way. And God, we're just asking today that we would see, hear, understand your word like never before. That, Lord, we would open, be wide open like HLBs, hungry little birds for Jesus with our mouths wide open. And just say, we want you, Jesus. We want you. We don't want anyone but you. And Lord, so we want right now, want to break agreement with everything that's not of you, that's inside of us. Somebody say amen. Okay. I want to break agreement with all my stinking thinking, sin, self, Satan, the world system, and my stinking thinking. And I want to get filled up with high test premium from heaven, the Holy Spirit. I just want you to come. I want to make room for you in my heart. I want you to have my heart. It's not my life anymore. I want to give my life to you. You come spend it any way you want. Help us to see what you want us to see. Open our eyes, open our understanding. May you be able to live through us freely, fully, no restriction, no restraint. May our life be a blessing unto you. And when we mess up, help us to fess up and just come to you and say, Jesus, this is what I did. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I acted or hurt somebody. Jesus, will you please forgive me? Now, Jesus, it's not me straightening up. It's not me trying to work harder or do better. It's me admitting where I am and saying, I need you to come Jesus me. I need you to come do it for me. I need you to come deliver me. I need you to come quicken me. I need you to come work inside of me and bring me into your way. It's a total dependence on you. May you make that so alive inside of us. We'd be delivered from shame and guilt and all the stuff that the devil wants to bring upon us. May we quickly agree with truth and admit it out loud. No more hiding. And we say, thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about what you're doing and what you're going to do. I say, get us, Jesus. Amen. I feel like I've been in church. All right. So, okay, did anybody do any homework? John chapter 3. Anybody do any homework that you were going to turn in? John chapter 3, verse 5. Okay, I got one. I got your homework, Brian. Anybody else got homework they want to turn in? Okay, I'm sorry. Don't get in a line. Get in a line. Don't stampede. You're going to hurt each other. Okay. Got the homework? John 3, 5. That was the homework. Does anybody remember? What does it mean? John 3, 5. Let's look at it. Turn over to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? Need to be baptized? Okay. Got that written down. What does that mean? Total transformation. What does that... Good. Okay, I'm just going to keep asking. What does that mean? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Except Christ. Okay. What does that mean? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. 7 and 8. Okay, James 4. Good morning, sis. What does that mean when it says... Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, of a truth, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the capital S Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Guess what? If you don't know this answer, the Bible says, if you're not, if this isn't in your life, you're not going into heaven. You think this might be important for us to like know? What do you think? What does this verse mean? What does it mean? Tell me what you think. I've already had three or so people tell me what they think. What do you think? Yes.
I think the water is, in one sense, in the natural fact, being in agreement with God and obeying.
Okay.
But then also okay. The washing of the word and
okay.
The spirit is, yeah, connecting with Jesus' spirit.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to say spiritual rebirth.
Okay, spiritual rebirth. Good. Anybody else? Yes, sir?
That's to the old man, and that's dying with Christ and being resurrected in his spirit.
Okay, good. Anybody else want to say anything?
It's like where Paul was saying
Galatians 2:20. Right. Okay. How about if we look up some verses and get an idea of what, and let's take the verses and then let's talk about it. You ready? The very first thing I'm going to tell you before I give you a verse is I put it in two, the answer to this in two. Does anybody else have anything to say before I say anything? Yes, go ahead.
How would you say that it's beyond ourselves?
It's beyond ourselves.
That's
right. Okay. What does it mean? Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay. 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 I hear what everybody's saying. Now, one of the reasons I like to ask questions... Okay, is because years ago when God said, this would have been around 93, and he said to me, Harvey, you're going to start an evangelistic training center. I said, what does that mean, Lord? If you're talking about Bible college, I don't believe in it anymore, though I did it for 9 years. I don't believe in it anymore. He said, what did I teach you? I said, you taught me discipleship, one-on-one hands-on training. He said, that's what I'm talking about. And I said, well, what's this going to look like? And he said, Harvey, I'll give you an idea. He said, I want you to read the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's what he told me. And he said, how did I teach people? So as I started reading all four Gospels, you know what I saw that jumped out at me? Because it's what God was drawing my attention to. Is that when Jesus went around, he taught things, but you know what he did a lot of? He asked questions. Now, has any of you ever been afflicted by me asking questions? Mm-hmm. It provokes you to think, doesn't it? The Bible says in Hebrews, provoke one another to love and good works. I challenge you to think because in America we're so used to being amused, not thinking. When you turn the TV on, you don't have to think. Somebody did your thinking for you. They even put it in pictures. It used to be before TV, they just put it in radio. And then before radio, they put it just in books. And then before that, they would sit around the campfire and tell stories and painting pictures in your mind. I mused, to not think. The word muse means to think. So I challenge you to muse. That's what God does. He challenges us to think. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The first thing I put with no verses is the natural birth. If somebody is not born of the water, what does that mean? Okay, when Jesus is drawing in this passage, he's talking about the new birth. And he's drawing a parallel to us meeting and knowing and receiving God as the same way that we are born into this world. So the very first thing is somebody, you know, the woman's pregnant, irped out to here, got the little child, it's time for her to birth. All of a sudden, before that child comes forth, what has to happen? Well, labor. The water has to break. So it's a natural birth. It's a picture. Okay? But then we're going to go into verses, and I'm just going to give you, and we're just going to go through reading them, but you might want to start writing them down, and I'm going to just read them, and then you're going to go back and look at them later. Now watch this. Do you want to be a part of a cult? Do you want us to just tell you what truth is? Do you want to be lazy? I'm sorry, is that a virtue? Lazy, it's a virtue. You know, right next to love and humility and then lazy, right? That's a virtue? I'm sorry, I can't hear you?
No.
Okay. So it's not a virtue to be lazy. So here's what I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to read verses to you, but I want you to write the references down, and I want you to go this week. What if this week your life, watch. Glenn, tell me if this works, okay? We give verses. We teach. We give verses, like on a Sunday. You write them down. You go and you read them again during the week. Then you begin to pray them, and you read them again and again. Does it do anything for you? Like a little bit, right?
No, like
it's just adding on. I put patchwork Jesus, right? I put just a little more on me. It transforms, doesn't it? It's huge. I'm going to give you something huge. If God has you here, he's wanting to plant stuff in you here. And these things that he's planting in you here need to bloom, need to grow, need to be rooted. They don't happen by you coming in Sunday school, sitting here and doing the bobblehead, and then going home. Even if you write them down, that's good. That's only a start, though. Because if you write them down and then go hide it in on your dresser, like I've done so many times, it doesn't help you. But if you take these and you go home and you read them again and you meditate on them and say, God, open this up to me. Open up the word of life. Psalm 119, 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God is going to transform your life. You like your life like it is? You just need a little Jesus? Or you want it transformed? Okay, just gave you a recipe for transformation. Here we go. You ready? John, we already did John 3:5. You need to write that one down. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. We're talking about being born of the water here. Okay? But it goes along with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. James 1:18. Of his own will, of God's own will, begat he us or birthed us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, man, woman, seed, baby, corruptible seed, because that seed dies. It's temporary. But of incorruptible seed. What's the incorruptible seed? I'm glad you asked. Because in 1 Peter 1:23, it says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is that? By the Word of God. The Word of God. This is eternal. Not one jot or one tittle will pass away till all be fulfilled. It's eternal. This is Jesus Christ in print. It's the eternal Word of God. Can anybody tell that I'm a little bit excited about this? Okay. And then two verses later, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I'm not going to read all these other verses, but I'm going to give them to you if you want to write them down. Okay? Just for your further edification. John 3:3. Isaiah 44:3. Ezekiel 36:25-27. Repeat that one more time. Okay. Ezekiel 36:25-27. You know, I didn't get quite enough spank because I'm still a smart mouth. Okay. Titus 3:4-7. But you know what, Larry, there's hope because I admit it. Okay, Titus 3:4-7. 1 Peter 1:2. Okay, some of you might not can write as fast as others, and there's others in here, like Patty, who's pretty proficient. You can ask her afterwards, or Glenn, or Larry, or Snicklefritz. Okay, 1 Peter 3:21. 1 Peter 3:21. 1 John 5:6-8, 1 John 5:6-8, John 1:13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Sorry, I just get excited. Okay, Romans 8:2, 1 Corinthians 2:12, 1 Corinthians 2:12, 1 Corinthians 6:11, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and 1 John 2:29, 1 John 2:29. I'm glad you asked. Okay, that was your homework. John 3:5. Here, let's do it real simple. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. If somebody is not born the first time, they can't be born the second time. Somebody can't be born again until they're born the first time. The first time we're born is our physical birth. You want to know what this verse means? I'm just giving you the light that I have so far. You ready? I'm going to try to put it in a nutshell. Because you had a bunch of opinions in here that though they may have, some of this stuff may have been true, it may not have applied to this verse at all. For example, baptism didn't apply to this verse at all. Okay? As a matter of fact, should I give them a challenge? I will give you a challenge. Mark 16:16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, is salvation, is baptism part of salvation? Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? I can't hear you. Okay, about three of you understand that. Okay, let me give you a thought. What is that verse talking about? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It could have just said, he that believeth is saved. And he that believeth not is damned. What saves somebody is the believing. And believing is not mental acknowledgement of a truth. I agree. That chair can hold me up. Is that chair holding me up? I'm sorry. Let's make this clear. Am I sitting on that chair? But I said I believe it will hold me up. There's a lot of people that say they believe in Jesus, but he's not holding them up because they're not resting on him. They're not depending on him. They're not trusting that what he did is enough to pay for their sin. They're believing in him, but they're not believing on him. Do you understand? We're talking for the next few weeks about witnessing. Everybody, folks, you're the witnesses. You are witnesses of Jesus. Amen. And when we go to witness to people, every single person needs Jesus. You can't witness to the wrong person because they all need Jesus. When we talk to somebody, we got to wait. There was somebody I met one time. They thought they were going to heaven, but God told me, Harvey, they're not going to heaven. And I said, well, can I tell them? And he said, no, they're not ready to hear it. I said, what do I do? He said, just love them from a distance. Don't confront them. Just love them. A year later, God said, now say this. And a few days later, they were born again. You have to wait. When you go to talk to somebody, you go to witness, God, what do you want to do? If you feel a desire, you have a thought, I ought to witness to this person. Do you think the devil would ever tell you to witness to somebody?
No.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I understood your answer. Do you think the devil would ever tell you to witness to somebody?
No.
So when you have a thought to witness to somebody, where do you think that thought came from?
Yeah.
It didn't come from you because you're selfish like me. It came from God. He's all about others, right? So when you have a thought to witness, okay, God, what do you want me to say? And don't stand there and ask him questions. When he says, go witness, he started it with G-O. Remember, that's how his name starts, G-O. Anybody getting this? Okay. So start going. And as you go, because faith's an action word, as you go to witness, he'll tell you what you want them to say. I walked in a Walmart. You've probably heard this story before. I walked in a Walmart. I have no idea what I went there for because I never got it. I got what God wanted me to get, which was another fish over there who wasn't saved. And I walked into Walmart, and God said, look over there. And I looked over there, and there was a guy, and he said, go talk to him. I didn't stand there and say, what do you want me to say? I don't know. It's not comfortable. I got things to do. What? Okay. As I went, God told me. When you move on what God gives you, he'll give you more of what to do. Psalm 36:9. In thy light shall we see light. Move in the light he's given you, he'll give you more light. Okay. Anybody getting this? Is this helping anybody? Good. All right. I saw that hand. All right. So we're talking about witnessing. And it's being born of water. The natural, number one, it's accept a man, be born of water and of the Spirit. So number one, the natural birth. Somebody's got to be alive. Number two, and realize while they're alive. I witnessed to a man one time, he was on his deathbed. And his wife, I'd been trying to witness to him for a long time. Because his wife came to our church, and he had run off every other preacher because he scared him. Because he was about 6'6", and he was real, you know, like that, when he talked to you. And that didn't scare me, but he didn't want God. So he called me to the hospital. He's on his deathbed. I go there. I thought the dude wanted to get saved. He's on his deathbed, right? I mean, when would you not be thinking about heaven or hell, okay? And the dude knew he wasn't going to heaven. And I went there and I said, you want to talk? He said, I don't want to hear your words, preacher. I told you I wanted you to come here because I want you to take care of my wife when I leave. Because I'm getting ready to leave. And she loves you and I want you to take care of her. I mean, they were like 80 or something like that, you know. And I'm like, can I tell you about Jesus? He goes, I don't want to hear any of that, preacher. So I took a track that tells about Jesus. And I laid it on that little thing that goes over your bed. So you put the food on that you can't use it anyway. I don't know why they have them there. But it's to hold all your junk because we're used to holding junk. And I said, can I leave this here? And he said, okay. I said, well, if you would like to read it. He just looked at me. He probably said something real smart mouth because he normally did. 2 days later, the day he died, I think it was the day he died or the day before he died. It was either the next day or 2 days later, a man came in there. It was real mousy, real scared, real intimidated. And he came in there with this bold lady like me to witness from the other church he had gone to. And he said, I don't want to hear you, lady. Because the mousy guy just stood there like this. And he said, I don't want to hear you. And she said, okay then, go to hell. I don't know if she said that, but she said it out in the hallway to the other guy. Don't tell somebody. Don't do that. If you can't win them, please, leave them in such a way so that I can. Don't make it harder for me. Don't argue with them. Don't try to straighten them out. Don't point your finger. The goodness of God, you need to get this, Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads a person to repentance. My prayer is that God, you would overwhelm them with your goodness and your love and your mercy so they come to the end of themselves and the foot of the cross. And they go out in the hallway, they're walking down the hallway, that self-righteous little lady, he don't want to hear, he'll just go to hell. And the mousy guy stopped. And she said, what are you doing? And he said, I feel like I'm supposed to go back. He doesn't want to hear. I just, there's God inside of me. I just feel like. Okay. And he told me later, he went back. And he walked in. And he said, what do you want? He said, could I tell you about Jesus? And the big old rough guy went, okay. Because this was a little. See, me, I couldn't reach him because I was too much like him. You understand? So he had to send some mousy little guy who had never witnessed in his life. And he said, can I tell you about Jesus? Because God was telling him that. And he goes, okay. And the mousy guy didn't know what to say. But God had me leave a track there that told about Jesus. Amen. And he picked it up. And he just read it to him. And we got then, you want Christ or sin? You want heaven or hell? Did you need Jesus to die on the cross for you? Okay. Would you pray with me? Whatever. And the guy accepts Christ. I found this out after I preached his funeral and thought he had gone to hell. And he came up to me after everybody left after the meal and said, and he told me this story. And I grabbed him. Well, I didn't grab the mousy guy, but I wanted to grab him. Why didn't you tell me? I could have told them. I was family. Okay, so John 3:5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now watch this. So when somebody's alive physically, there's two births he's talking about. A physical birth, a spiritual birth. The first birth, you're born into the family of God. You're born into the family of this earth. The second birth, you're born into the family of God. See if you get this. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Do you get it? I'll say it one more time. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. That's just a little thing for you to go meditate on. You've got to be born again. It's called the second birth. Okay? Because there's two deaths. Death simply means, you're going to witness to people, you need to get this. Death simply means to be separated. If we shot Glenn right now, Pastor Glenn, bam! We're separating the real Glenn from this body that he has to be tormented with for the rest of his life. Okay? Only kidding. We're separating the real Glenn from that body. See, you've never seen Pastor Glenn. You've only seen the body that he's living in. You are not that body. You are an eternal spirit temporarily living in this body. Don't get caught up in this body. You're living for the body. You're living for what's temporary. Live for the Spirit. Okay? Spend your time and your energy on the Spirit. I'm excited. Okay. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Physical birth, spiritual birth. Because there's two deaths. You know that, right? Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, last two verses. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. I'm none of those. I'm a pretty good person. And then God says, well, let's just make sure we include everybody. And all liars. If you ever met somebody who said they didn't lie, they just did. Because I've met them. And they told me, I've never lied. I said, you just did. Okay? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first death is the grave. The first death is this body being, we're separating from this body. The second death is we're being separated from God forever. The first death, we're being separated from the world, from the temporary, from this physical plane. The second death, we're being separated from spiritual life. That's why it's called spiritual death. Okay. You feel better? I do. Okay. John 3:16. Did anybody memorize that this week?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
It means he's available to everybody, but it's only what he did is only applicable to each individual as they turn to God and accept what Christ did on the cross for him. That's why I ask people, did you need Jesus to die for you? And when they say, yeah, I say, why? Well, because I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to go to heaven. Good. You want to go to heaven now? Because I can help you now that you know the truth. Because until somebody knows those two simple things, they can't go. You got it? Here's your homework. Here's your homework. I'm going to give you a simple, you wanted to witness to somebody this week and see somebody get saved this week.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? Next Sunday, you bring a little baby Christ in?
Yeah.
Hey, I just met Jesus! I said, no, I'm still wearing my diapers. But I just met Jesus! You ready? Okay, Romans Road. We're going to talk about John Journey, Hebrew Highway, Isaiah Interstate. These are things God's given me through the years of how it's a salvation chain. It's verses. You go from one verse to the next verse to the next verse to bring somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus. I'm going to give you Romans Road today. You ready? I want you to write these down. They're all in the book of Romans, so you only stay in one book instead of jumping all over the place. Okay? Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Chapter 3, verse 23. Chapter 6, 23a. You only give them the first part at this point. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? Romans 5, 8. Then you go back to Romans 6, 23, the rest of it. And then Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Now, when it says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, don't think that means salvation is just in a prayer. All they got to do is say magic words. Because if they have magic words to say, show it to me in the Bible. I've met hundreds, probably thousands of people around America. And I said, if you were to die today and stay before God, and he said, why shall I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? And they said, because I prayed the prayer. Excuse me? Chapter and verse, please? What prayer? Well, I prayed the prayer the preacher said to pray. The person talking to me told me if I pray this prayer, I'm going to heaven. No, I don't go to church. No, I don't want to get baptized. No, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. But now I'm going to heaven because I prayed the prayer. Where is that prayer? I said, if you want to go to the preacher's heaven, then do what he says. If you want to go to God's heaven, then you want to go to the Bible heaven, you better do what the Bible says. There is no certain prayer that's going to get you saved. A prayer did not die for you on the cross. And it's not your promises. If you just get me out of this foxhole, I'll live for you the rest of my life. If you just pay my rent, if you just do this, I'll live for you. It's not your promises. It's not your potential. I'm good. I can do this. I can do that. I'll do all this. I'll build hospitals for Jesus. It's not your potential. And it's not your power. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. You ready? 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God, Jesus, when did you meet him? Got to be the best day of your life. I'm so glad we get to talk about witnessing. It's almost my favorite subject. All right. Homework. I gave you notes. If you did not get them, you need to get with somebody who wrote them down, because I don't want to give you an F, okay? I want you to get those notes, and I want you to go look up those verses this week, and I want you to read them. And then I want you to read them again, and this time you say, God, would you open up this so I can see what it means, what you want me to see right now where I'm at? Would you open this up? That verse, that's a prayer, by the way. Psalm 119, verse 18. It's a prayer right in the Bible. It's not a prayer to get saved. It's a prayer for God to open up the scripture for you to understand it. Psalm 119, 18. Okay? So I want you to do those verses. I want you to do Romans Road. I want you to go and look at Romans Road several times. What is it saying? Because how can you take somebody through Romans Road if you don't know the way? Okay? Now let me give you one other thought. When you go to witness to somebody, okay, you may show them Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody is righteous. If they think they're righteous, don't even bother going on. You just planted a seed thought. You just gave them a truth. If they don't receive that truth, if they're arguing with that truth, don't go on. You're wasting your time. I can't get from here to over there without doing one step at a time. You get to God one step at a time. It's called the Christian walk, remember? Not the Christian arrival. You know, beam, transport me up. It's not Star Trek here. It's walking with God one day at a time. Do you hear me? So when you go to witness to somebody, here's how simple it is. Do you know Jesus? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Are you born again?
Yes.
If you died, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. And it's all because of? Jesus! Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm so excited. All right. Now, that means that the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you, whether you know it or not. He's been trying to talk to you. When you're walking, you're living, and you have a thought, I need to say something to this person about Jesus. I need to give this person a hug. I need to give this person $5 or buy them lunch or change their tire or lift up the cat food for the little old lady and put it in her cart. That's Jesus, because he's all about giving, and he's others, and he's wanting to live himself through you. When you go to witness, just listen to the Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? He'll say, say this. One time he told me to ask a lady, ma'am, when did you see? I had talked to her for an hour or 2 hours, about an hour, and she was a leader in a huge church. And she knew all the answers and could quote verses to me. But in my spirit, God said, she don't know me. And after about an hour, I said, ma'am, I got to go do my job. I went and did my job. I kneeled down and said, God, I want you to bless and show me how to do this. But God, I want you to show me what to say to her. And he said, well, I was waiting for you to get done saying all your words. You were just wowing her with what you knew. I said, well, I'm sorry, God. What do you want me to say? He said, go ask her this question. Remember, he likes to ask questions. And I said, ma'am, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? This leader in a ministry in a huge church. I've never seen myself deserving to go to hell. How can somebody get saved if they don't even realize they're lost? Are you with me? I said, oh, I see. You believe that Jesus is God. You believe in Jesus as the Savior, as the Son of God. You believe in Jesus, the one who loves you and heals you and answers prayer. But you don't believe in Jesus as a Savior because you've never seen yourself as lost. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Harvey, now shut your mouth. Because if you keep talking, you'll interrupt what I'm doing. 2 years later, I saw the lady again. And I said, ma'am, do you remember me? She said, do I? She said, you asked me that question, and for 4 months, I couldn't quit thinking about that question. And I finally realized I deserved to go to hell. She said, it took 2 more months for me to get born again. Now I'm born again. Now I know what you're talking about. Before, I just knew what you were talking about. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We can't do it right now because I'm already late. Remind me. When y'all come in here and act all dead, I got to act like I do to wake you up. Oh, that's why God gave you all me. I'm a spark plug. You ready? Okay. I'm an adrenal gland, the body of Christ. You ready? Close your eyes. We're going to pray. Close them. Close, close. Jesus, you are so awesome. I ask that you would take all these words. Whatever was not of you, just screen it and throw it away like water off a duck's back. But Lord, what was of you, make it alive to us, get all over us like white on rice, turn us every way but loose. Help us to hear, to see in the Spirit, to understand, to begin to do something with what was said, not just write it down, not just go, But Lord, we want our lives to be changed. We want to be witnesses of you and tell everybody how awesome you are because we want to see you high and lifted up, and we want every soul to be in heaven. We want them to be forgiven. We want them to come under your blood. So we commit them, each one of these, into your hands, each one of these words that was spoken. We want to own them, to live them. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.